I'm going to go and get started. Welcome to the W3C Credentials Community Group call. Can I get a mic check? Can you hear me?
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yep. Thanks. So the short version of our agenda today, we're going to be hearing a presentation about a Universal Wallet 2020 from Ori of Transmute. These calls are held under the intellectual property regime of the W3C's community group guidelines, which means everyone who has signed up for this group has agreed to a contributor's license agreement, and we encourage your participation. If you've not signed up, then we may need to limit your comments to if it gets in the area of substantive contributions. We haven't had to do that much, but it's easy to join, it's free, and the agreement simply makes sure that the intellectual property that's developed by this group is available and clear for future standards. So please go sign up if you haven't already. We do keep track of call notes via IRC, and we record the call as well. So feel free, please join us in IRC. The agenda item had that URL. Speak up on the phone if for some reason you don't know how to get there, and we'll find a way to get you into it. Obviously, you can't post to IRC that you need the information on how to get to IRC. But we use the IRC for queue management and for taking notes, and occasionally for a little bit of side talk, although we try to minimize that. We like to have one conversation so the minutes are clear and so people understand what's going on and who's saying what about which issue. All right, we do have a scribe for each call, which we rotate through our volunteers. If someone would like to be a scribe, please put yourself on the queue or just shout out that you would love to be scribe. I'm going to go through our record of who's done it in the past so that the folks who haven't done it for a while get called on first. So I've got Jeff Orgel. Not sure I'm seeing you here. Moses Ma, Troy Ronda, Gabe Cohen, Samita Jonak. I think these people often aren't here, but they're on our list. Ted Thibodeau, Tall Ted, or Ken Ebert. Heather Besson, are you here, Heather? I'm not seeing Heather. Drummond Reed. Drummond, Dave Longley. Are you here, Dave? Dave sometimes keeps his IRC connected, even though he can't make the call. Bill Barnhill, Brent Zundell, Carl DeClementi. Can any of you step up and be scribe for today? Mm-hmm. Manu Sporny, Justin Richer, Dimitri Zagadulin, are you here, Dimitri? I don't see Dimitri. Chris, how do I say your last name, Chris? Winchewski? Is that a good guess?
Winchewski, I can do it.
Winchewski, excellent. I will move you to the rear of the queue. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
No problem.
Okay, next up is going to be introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone on the call who hasn't been with us before? This is your first Credential Community call.
There's Jack Sohn here. I haven't been on this particular work stream with Learning
great.
Economy. Yeah, happy to be here.
Excellent. What's Learning Economy?
Learning Economy is a nonprofit out of DC, working kind of around the world to create education ecosystems. You know, we're first creating kind of digital wallet ecosystems toward creating what we like to call the Internet of Education. And so, yeah.
Great. Excellent. And what was your name again?
Jack Stone.
Jeff Stone. Okay, great. Glad to have you. Anyone else who's new to the group? We'd love to have you say a few words.
Yeah, this is Nathan. I'm also with the Learning Economy with what Jack Stone just mentioned. Happy to be
great.
Here.
Welcome, Nathan. Okay, anyone else? Okay, since not everyone is here, when the folks who are already members introduce themselves, we also like to do reintroductions. Anyone want to sign up for that? Otherwise, we'll randomly go through the list and see if we can get some folks to introduce. How about Adam Lemon?
Hey, sure. I think I introduced myself just about 2 weeks ago.
But, oh, okay.
No worries. But yeah, with Convergence Tech, primarily working in the education sector, looking at digital credentials, micro credentials, alternative credentials.
Okay, great. Thank you, Adam. And I put you in the queue of reintroductions. So thank you. Okay. Anyone else, just hop on the queue and I'll get back to you if you'd like to introduce, if you've got a job change or something interesting to update your status. Next up is announcements and reminders. Here's our link where we keep track of those announcements. I think the most significant one, we touched on it last week for those of you who are here, Identiverse has gone virtual, and apparently they have a 6-week program or something. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but a heads up for folks who might be going to conferences like that. They've gone virtual, and they've spread it out over quite a bit of time. We also have the continuing regular meetings. We have the weekly call, the Verifiable Credentials for Education, which meets Monday morning, and the DID resolution calls, which are Monday afternoon. And then finally, we support the secure data storage calls, which are hosted by DIF, and we have those connections in the agenda as well. Juan thinks it's 8 weeks. Well, your arithmetic may be better than mine, Juan, so let's go with 8 weeks. I can support that. And I see Kalia on the queue. Go ahead, Kalia.
Yeah, next week DIF is hosting a virtual face-to-face that's open to the entire community. So if you have been hearing about DIF and wonder what the heck they do over there, this is a great opportunity to kind of show up and learn if that is something you want to do. I'll post the link in the IRC.
Great. Thank you, Kalia. Great chance to grab that URL. And if you have any other announcements or reminders, feel free to jump on the queue. Happy to give you a moment to share what you know about going on in this space.
Can I nominate Lucy Yang to say something about the CCI since she joined the call?
Sure, if Lucy would like to. Lucy?
Hi. Yes, Lucy here. Can you hear me?
Yes, hello? We can hear you clearly.
Oh, sorry. I'm still trying to figure out the system because I want to volunteer, but I don't know how. Thanks, Julia. So, this is my second time doing the call. I work as the co-lead of communication coordination at CCI. So I think we presented what we were working on about a month ago. And now we've made a lot of progress, especially regarding identifying who we are, what we do, and also like restructuring to kind of reflect that our new like mission, or our refined mission, which is to support privacy preserving verifiable credential projects that are working to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and strengthen our societies. So, yeah, that.
Great. And is there a URL or a way to get more information?
Oh, yes. Should I just type it in?
Sure. That'd be great. Great. Thank you, Lucy. Didn't see anyone get on the queue. Okay, so we'll go next up. We're going to look at progress on action items. And I think this is going to be a queue up for you, Christopher and Kim, to talk about where we're at with the election. So issue 125 is run the CCG co-chair election. Go ahead, Chris. You might be muted, Chris.
Yes, so we're finalizing the voting system details right now. I'm hoping later today that we'll have an email out for everybody sent to the list. We already have the lists of eligible voters. We have a lot of little niggling details that we weren't aware we needed to put together. Chris Wozinski, you're the one, the main one I'm needing a response to which email you want to have sent to. So I know you're on the call, so please send me an email or whatever. Apparently I may have the wrong email for you. So I just need a confirmation of your email so we can get to the next step. But yeah, keep an eye out for the details in the email. You'll either vote for Joe or for Heather, and you'll send your vote, and it will be tallied by these three volunteers. Once the tallies are complete, if they agree, all the votes will be deleted, and we'll announce it next week. So that's the status.
Hey, great.
So, Chris, I did send to that email address. If you can just confirm that that you're getting my email. So, thanks.
Yeah, sounds good, Chris.
Okay, that's it for me.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris. Let me give a chance for anyone who has any questions about the election before moving on. You can hop on the queue. Or since there's not a queue, you can just shout it out. I think the details are all going to be provided in that email, and I'm not directly involved in that since I'm one of the candidates. But feel free to reach out to Chris or Kim if you do have questions. Okay, and with that, we are on to the main stage event, which is a presentation about universal wallets, and particularly this Universal Wallet 2020, which is an effort being led by Ori over at Transmute. So go ahead, Ori.
Awesome, thank you. So the link has already been pasted into the chat for the repo. Here's the link to the specification. And here is a link to a demo associated with it. So because of the way the CCG meetings run, my plan is basically to describe the motivation behind this work and to kind of comment on some overall architectural, structural goals associated with it, and then hopefully to take as many questions as possible. So I don't plan to speak for a ton of time. I'd like to take questions. So first things first is, we at Transmute, we have a bunch of demos of decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials, web demos. And so we have, a did key demo that uses did method key. We have a did GitHub demo, which uses did GitHub. We have did element demo, which uses element DID on Sidetree, which is on Ethereum and IPFS. And all of those demos have some need to support this concept of backing up your wallet contents and moving your, you know, account details from one place to another. So you might be wanting to load some keys into a browser so that you can sign something, you know, in a web application. You might want to be moving those keys to some web service that you're running locally on your machine. And this question of portability around the wallet kind of comes up. And so we had historically built a JSON and encryption kind of hacked home rolled solution for this. And our goal with the Universal Wallet 2020 is to sort of update that and gather feedback and try and make it something that can address the needs of the community more generally. And as a sort of separate note on that, we deal also a lot with cryptocurrencies, especially for ledgers that require them to create transactions. So our goal with this specification is to create a data model and abstract interface for a wallet, in quotes, where wallet means a digital system that holds keys, credentials, currency, and other secrets and sensitive information and metadata about how those things are related. So a simple way of thinking about this is that a verifiable credential is actually created using an issue process, which applies a key to a credential and produces a verifiable credential by signing the credential payload. So there's a relationship between key material as it's represented abstractly, credentials as they're represented without a proof associated with them, and then the end result of that, which is a credential with a proof. And similarly, for transferring cryptocurrency in a ledger, you have some metadata about the currency, you have some key that's authoritative over that currency, and you create a transaction which, once shared with the ledger, will result in the transfer. So what we're trying to do here is just create a data model that accounts for how these identifiers, credentials, currencies, and secrets and mnemonics, you know, related to them are all related, so that we can create a set of English sentences that describe how these things could be related in an abstract manner. So one, you know, really important point is that just because there's a representation of a key doesn't mean that that key is actually in the wallet. So we want to account for the use case of hardware isolated keys and, you know, secure enclave. We want to account for keys in WebKMS, keys in other key management software systems. But in order for you to move from one system to another, you have to have some representation for that that can be exported and re-imported again. And just generally speaking, we can't move data from one system to another if we have no way of representing it. So for the various different credential formats, if you're looking at a Linkit credential or a JSON web token or a Hyperledger Indy credential, if you don't have a way of understanding what that credential looks like as it's stored in a wallet, then you can't move that between wallet providers. So our goal is basically to create a JSON data model that can represent the kinds of things that people store in wallets and an abstract interface for the kinds of things that wallets do. And we also have a reference implementation, which is one concrete implementation around it that uses this data model. And our hope is that this can sort of, we can unify the community around, you know, moving of currency, representing of keys outside of the public use cases that we're all familiar with, like the DID specification or verifiable credentials use cases. So this is our first, it's a first stab. We're pretty sure that the spec as written is like pretty fairly intimidating and large, but we're also doing our best not to introduce new data models for credentials or DID. We're trying to build a vocabulary around the relationship between those things and other key management systems and cryptocurrency. So I'll stop there. That's a kind of overview of what the work item is about. And I'd love to hear feedback, questions, concerns, and respond to them as best I can.
Excellent. Thanks, Ori. I see Christopher has already joined the queue. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, I'm trying to find the repo. So there's some effort by a number of Bitcoin, mostly a little bit also Ethereum wallet companies to sort of starting at the very, very bottom, what is a seed and what is an HD key, what is an HD path, et cetera, and create a special constrained set of CBOR Bash 32 encoding that's optimized for QR codes as well. So I'm going to include the link, if I can find it real quick. If people are interested, or you know, Ori in particular, if you are interested in you know, this, here it is. In particular, the in that folder, the UR format. So one of the particular things we've discovered is that, you know, even if you don't need QR codes, thinking about air gap solutions sort of helps you do some good architecture things. I also would love, you know, at some point the community or, you know, Diff or someone to tackle some of the naming issues. So the next link I'm posting was a topic paper submitted to Rebooting back in Prague, which is, you know, what is a wallet? And it turns out we have a lot of different names in our different communities for the different pieces, especially if we add in, you know, trying to support cryptocurrency with some of those. So that was a first attempt trying to name all the pieces consistently. I don't think we succeeded, but I also have some concerns that all the arrows need to be named. Every single one of those arrows in those diagrams needs to be properly named. So, you know, when we're trying to build these wallets that work together, interoperate together, allow us to move, you know, keys and credentials and things of that nature from one place to another, you know, we kind of have to agree on the names of what the pieces are. So anyhow, I hope those two are useful. And obviously, you know, I'm kind of starting at the very bottom. We haven't even gotten to transactions or verifiable credential encoding in UR with CBOR. You know, we have some good seed tools. We've already are exchanging them between hardware wallets and software wallets and using QR codes, et cetera, for that. Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks, Chris. Anyone else? If not, I'll start making up questions. So, so I'm looking at the spec. Where do you see it going from here, Ori? I see Wayne on the queue after this question. We'll let you go, Wayne.
Yeah, so I think right now what I'm trying to do is gather interest from the W3CCG and DIFF in terms of, you know, what working group, what members of these communities think about trying to define a vocabulary for wallet concretely such that we can have wallet portability. And I'm looking for members of the community to stand up and say, we need that. I'm not sure what it looks like. I don't think it looks like the spec that you've shown, or I think it looks sort of like the spec that you've shown. And if I don't hear something like very strongly from those communities about that, this being necessary, then maybe we'll just keep doing it as we have with our previous version underneath Transmute, because there isn't a desire to unify the communities around that. But if there is a very strong desire from those communities, then I'm going to look at community members and where the largest interest for support is, and we would consider supporting a work item in one of those communities to further develop the specification, reference implementation, and a demo on top of it. And our goal is to, you know, ideally work with a community that can represent the hardest possible use cases, right? So currency, three types of credentials, multiple different types of identifiers, you know, something that's truly spanning. And so we're looking for community members to stand up and say, that's the thing that we want to see solved in an open standard fashion.
Okay, very cool. I see Wayne on the queue. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, so just to clarify, I was skimming the spec too. This is a wallet interoperability format, namely?
Yes. So one really important part of it is, you know, it's right at the top. It says, we expect that wallet systems that exist today will not change the way that they're representing their data. So in other words, you should be able to take any existing wallet system, look at the specification, and translate your data in a way that could be exported if you wanted to do that. And then you could likewise import data back into an existing wallet system by reviewing this data model. So it's a import-export representation for wallets. And obviously, you can't export hardware-isolated keys, but you should still be able to export a reference that they existed.
Got it. Then my feedback to that is, of course, like, I don't want to start a naming event. Those can go on forever and ever. But Universal Wallet, to me, says that everyone's going to use this wallet. But maybe we can call it like Universal Wallet Format or something. I don't know, just to be super clear within the first title.
Yeah. Interesting point.
Yeah. And I think that... can you give us an overview? I'm looking through the keys here, but what's the thinking about managing the public and private keys, porting them from one wallet to another? How do you think you would do that, or did you just do the format so far?
So, I mean, there are cases in the community today where you're going to use a mnemonic to port an infinite set of keys between one provider and another. And then there are cases where you're going to import specific private key material from one system to another. Generally, it's terrible to move private keys. So with full acknowledgement and understanding that moving keys is a recipe for having them be stolen, it is a thing that the community does. And so we need a way to warn the community about the dangers of that. Provide vocabulary that describes what moving things looks like and what moving things means and what happens when moving things get stolen. But I'm of the opinion that because private keys are fundamentally movable, because information is fundamentally movable, it's better to describe how to move it safely than to tell the world never to move private keys and not describe how to move them.
Okay, next up on the queue, I believe, is Chris. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so a few different things, because I've been, again, you know, trying to, my goal is to do a BTCR wallet, but that meant we had to create a Bitcoin wallet. So I've been diving into this deeply, and then we've been working on some standards between the Bitcoin community. A few observations that we've learned is that, you know, where you have to be extra special, really careful, and use things like air gap. So if you look at the diagram that I highlighted from that paper, there are three red lines between the boxes, and those are the places that, you know, we were really focusing first. But also, like, this whole diagram is, you know, missing a huge number of pieces, like, Shamir or other social or transaction recovery things, revocation. You know, how do you audit this? You know, there's, you know, how do you do delegation, reputation, et cetera, et cetera. So it turns out it's, you know, a fairly hard problem, especially when you're trying to do something that will work for all of the communities. Because this, you know, and including a community which we don't have well represented here, which is the Ethereum wallet. I mean, I can kind of represent, you know, the UTXO family of wallets, but we don't really have you know, good representation of the cryptocurrency Ethereum side of this, including, you know, Gnosis contracts and multisig and things of that nature. So, I think one part is, you know, seeing if we can't come up with some consistency of this overall diagram, and then dive into where there might be things that are the equivalent of what in my red lines in that diagram, which is, you know, the places where, you know, we have to have particular care, either because we're exchanging a private key or we are, you know, talking to a network in some fashion, where we need to establish trust, or, you know, we're moving to cold storage or offline or backup or whatever. So anyhow, I'd love to work with you, Ori, on some of this, especially if we can get some, you know, larger buy-in, because, you know, this isn't going to do any good if we still end up all developing different, completely different wallets. So I don't want to go to all of this if everybody's just basically saying, well, doesn't matter. I just have to have my wallet work with my stuff. I don't need wallets that work with other people's stuff. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. Next up, Kim.
Yeah, I wanted to add strong support from the educational credentials community. So there are, I probably heard of over the last year at least, you know, 50 wallets in the wild and the educational credential space that, you know, in varying degrees of development. And there is a lot of interest in interoperability. So I'll sort of speak quickly as to where people have focused so far and, you know, I guess in general, the focus I see groups like the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force bringing. So, so far there's been a lot of focus in terms of wallet specs and the idea of discoverability of what's inside the credential. So something called the ILR wrapper, which is basically a verifiable credential, is focused on discoverability, and that would enable functions like sorting and organizing credentials, you know, a wider range of different kinds of credentials. So while the ILR wrapper is one way of doing it, there's still strong interest in different approaches for verifiable credentials and wallets and doing the same kind of operation so far. You know, things like open badges as verifiable credentials. So we have an array of credential types, and there's definitely buy-in the need for this work item. So I see it nicely building on or complementing sort of what our focus has been already. So, and that's where we had less focus, but need to certainly things like key management, but that will be increasing over time. And then, you know, I think that there will be interest in a lot of integrating with a lot of different identity providers and DID approaches. You know, not necessarily on the, so I think we would bring less expertise in sort of the, you know, crypto, key management itself, but I think that we would be interested in, you know, working along with understanding standards around, you know, encryption, importing, exporting, all kinds of things like that. And let's see. So I think how we could work might be something like we could probably take it on and give dedicated attention to it in the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. Again, I know a lot of people are interested in exactly this problem. I think another area we are very interested in sort of the usability for the learner as well. So I think when I mentioned sorting and organizing, things like, you know, understanding that the wallet is kind of an entry point for one's credentials. In the long run, you know, we'll be able to rely on things more like credential exchange protocols so that, you know, the learner isn't necessarily inspecting it themselves. But I think, you know, things like grouping by issuers and the ability to sort of uncover what's in there. So I think we would probably also like to bring a focus on what sort of metadata is needed to enable that as well. So yeah, strong support, and let me know if you have any questions about that.
Great, thanks, Kim. I'm next up on the queue, and I've got a couple of things. First, I want to highlight some comments. I'm just gonna copy them again, that may have gotten, they didn't bubble up into the voice conversation. So one was a comment from Margot, with the URL to the DIF report out from their glossary work. And then Brent also had a couple of URLs of related work. So I just want to bring people's attention to those. And then second up, two things really. I want to talk about WebKMS and then a little bit about ILR. One thing I want to say about ILR, so I helped write that paper. It's very light on the wallet part. And so actually, Ori, what you have here in the universal wallet is a huge advance over sort of the minimal description of what the ILR paper looked at in terms of what a wallet should be able to do. It mostly focused on here's how you profile or customize AVC to be an interoperable learning record. And that should be pending. I don't know. I think it's done with editorial, and it's going to be published soon. We'll let the group know, but it's I don't think it's released yet. And then about WebKMS, I noticed, Ori, in the spec, you do have you do mention WebKMS as a thing, and I think that relates a lot to private keys and importing or exporting private keys, or not doing that. If there's an opportunity to avoid it. Can you speak, Ori, to what the thinking is about how WebKMS fits into the wallet?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, the bottom line is don't move private keys if you don't need to. Anytime they get pulled from one system and put into another, there's an opportunity for them to be stolen. It's generally best practice to generate keys on the device, never move them, and just authorize them, you know, to handle, you know, delegation or transfer of control authority for things related to them, that kind of thing. So WebKMS is a system of holding keys behind a web interface. And my hope is that while we can start to hint at the kinds of interfaces that we'd like to see around support for WebKMS in this wallet specification by pointing to those keys as they would be represented in WebKMS and thinking about the kinds of operations that WebKMS supports, like sign and verify and things like that. So bottom line is basically that if you have a representation of a key in a wallet, it could be that that key has extractable keys, so that key is sort of a virtual key that's managed by some other service. It could be behind WebKMS. It could be behind Secure Enclave. It could be, you know, in some software isolation in your browser, which is another place that keys are isolated. So bottom line is, like, don't move private keys if you don't need to. And I'm very eager to see the WebKMS stuff move forward, and it's sort of back burner to a large number of other issues, and I'm hoping that we can start to see some relationships between that work and why it's so critical by highlighting a portable data model for moving keys that are managed in WebKMS.
Great, thank you. One of the reasons I wanted to highlight that is some of these architectures, especially when you think about Bitcoin, you know, you don't ever hold the Bitcoin physically in your wallet. So one of the nuances around the wallet definition is it's where you control these things. And if your keys aren't even in what you're calling the wallet because they're in a web KMS, it seems even more to that point. So figuring out how you integrate sort of the separated keys from the wallet entity is going to be an interesting puzzle to tease out. And I see Chris on the queue. Chris, you might be muted.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a couple of different things. In the the research that and implementation that we're in progress on, we're increasingly finding that we want to use device differences for separating private keys. So as an example. Take a look at the picture on the top of this page. So that is a box that we created that has a completely offline key. There is no memory in this box. It does not store your key. You enter in your mnemonics. You enter in the path that of the child key that you want from those mnemonics. So it's not even going to be your master key, and it will present you a child QR that can be then used to establish, say, a Bitcoin account or whatever. But at no point does the master key ever be on a device that's on the network. And as soon as you turn off LeafyKit, it's gone. But there are other versions of this. We have something that uses the same basic technique that uses the iOS trust zone, which never allows your phone it's in the hardware of the trust zone. But even with that, we leave the network off and we have it be a separate device. We don't have the network device be the same as the storage device. That won't work for a number of different architectures, but I think the principle of, really firmly defining, where these problems are and where, you can air gap them if you wish to, then makes it really easy to, or easier to figure out, how it all works. I'll also share in the chat. This is an example of what we're proposing as a CBOR structure that is optimized for QR codes. It's double clickable, which was unlike Base64. It doesn't have characters that make force QR codes into binary mode, which Base64 does. It uses Bash32 encoding. And it uses CBOR so that you can have, extra information like the birthday of the key. Some people need it, some people don't. You can encode that in there. To sort of change the subject a tiny bit to what Joe wanted to ask me in his question, which is I've been involved in Wyoming in defining some laws around private keys and in general key management. A couple of notes. About 2 years ago, they basically said that under law, stockholders could be represented by keys. Last year, they passed that all corporate records, everything you need, stock registers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, could be represented cryptographically, say on a blockchain, although it's not exclusively to blockchain. So basically, everything that is a corporate record about a company can be there, and that is in law now. And they also passed a law which funds, hopefully next year, the Secretary of State to issue, in effect, corporate birth certificates, digital birth certificates of, saying you are, valid in Wyoming. And I've been pushing them strongly to support
verifiable credentials and multiple interoperability of not just pick one DID, but to focus on the interoperability. One of the things that came out as a consequence of that is a bill that specifically protects private keys from compelled disclosure. That bill has not passed yet, but it's going to be reintroduced in the next session. But it basically, private keys, we also have to legally be very careful about, every prosecutor, every discovering attorney, et cetera, all wants your private keys. And that's very dangerous, especially in a multi-sig world where, your private key might protect other people. So, or be part of a social discovery, a social recovery network. So, the new law would basically say, the courts can compel you to use your private keys, say to transfer money or to, make various different kinds of statements, but it can't force you to disclose the private keys because there's no safe way for a prosecutor, a court, or attorney, or whatever to hold on to your keys. I mean, we don't even like that you hold your own keys. We would, but you have to. So anyhow, some good things going on in Wyoming there. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Chris. It was, in fact, that last bit was exactly what I wanted to talk about, which is, for keys to really do all the magic, they need to be kept private. And so importing and exporting keys is aligned with that new bill. I was hoping it had already been passed, but hopefully in the next session. Okay. Anyone else? Thoughts? Questions? Ori, go right ahead.
So just, one more sort of note about the bar that we're seeking to meet for this is we want to make sure that it accounts for the Hyperledger Indy credentials format specifically in a portable manner. So there's some internal representations around the concept of connections. There's a fundamental stance within the Indy community around privacy and peer dids and things like that. And we want this to totally support that in a way that's interoperable and that can be portable. And so I want to call that out specifically because one of the things that I've struggled with has been trying to create or even see a system that holds multiple different credential formats properly. And part of the difficulty around that comes from the assumptions that wallet systems are making that are hidden from software implementers and standards organizations. And so part of my desire around support for the indie community here is to externalize some of these concepts like connections, externalize concepts like representing of cacheable indie credential based representations for verifiable credentials, and supporting those communities. And if we can't figure out a way to get strong collaboration and coordination from a key representative who cares about indie credentials, who cares about linked data proof credentials based on web tokens and cryptocurrency for this, then I think we can't really move the conversation forward safely because we won't have enough representation to address the community needs. But I've had a number of conversations that lead me to believe that we will be able to get that, and it's just a matter of time. So if you have a specific thing that you're really interested in that relates to wallets and you represent a community that you feel might not be adequately represented in this specification, please reach out on GitHub, raise an issue, say, hey, I represent this community. I think this is an important issue. I want to know how this specification will address it. And at some point in the future, we will decide whether or not we've met enough interest to move this into a formal working group. So that's the final thing I wanted to make.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ori. I see a few more on the queue. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, something you said reminds me of a particular thing that we discovered when we actually implemented. which is there are a lot of assumptions in, say, hardware wallets, in particular the cryptocurrency hardware wallets, but this also can apply to things like FIDO, et cetera, that actually are somewhat backwards and force you into things that aren't necessarily, or I shouldn't say force you, but they make some assumptions about things that, can cause problems down the stream. So one of the things, for instance, we discovered was when we originally did it, the hardware wallet said, here's an account for you to the network side of the house. When we turned that around to, having the network side of the house say, I need, an account that meets these things, can you do it? And then it basically, secure side of the wallet basically goes, yes, I can offer you an account with those kinds of qualities or not, and then they go back and forth and create it. Ended up with a much better architecture, and we wouldn't have known that if we hadn't actually, implemented it with multiple accounts, with multiple users, with multiple, with multi-sig in there. So, that's I think one of the key things here is that we have to be willing to cross implement some of this stuff, because some things you're not going to discover until you actually do it. I think a DKMS in absence of an implementation is going to make some architecture mistakes. They're going to assume one key, or they're going to assume, there'll be these invisible architectures that they'll stumble on later. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. Jonathan.
This is a strong work, but I just would caution to separate this concept of key management versus wallet management, and it seems as though you're conflating the two in the specification, where there's a lot of description, notes, creation time that actually is really about the wallet managing the keys, about or the end user experience of like remembering which key this is for. But there's a bunch of information in here that's metadata that really sort of I would say is a bit superfluous. And maybe would be problematic. For instance, the key for an Ethereum wallet, for my Ethereum account, it surely should be separated. Like there's the idea of just the cryptographic key material representation, and then what this key is for. And so I think that's the merger between the key and this wallet management. And I'd probably best to separate those two things out. Because one thing you don't want to do is basically is say, here's my private key. But just like, here's my key to my front door, and here's where I live. And that's the association for us.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think, the reason that information exists is one fear that I have is that if you don't keep notes on where you're using key material and what context you're using it, it's very easy to destroy your privacy unintentionally. So one of the other objectives of the specification is to allow for metadata descriptions that can pair with key material and credentials and currency and transactions and things like that, such that the wallet system in the future might even be capable of looking at its internal state and warning you, hey, you're about to cross-correlate two keys that have never been linked, and you're going to link sub-identities that you've been managing safely if you make this transaction concrete. So how that's represented is definitely up for debate. Like, I'm not sure what the best way of, warning you that you use these keys for a testnet, you use these other keys over here for the mainnet, you've used this key with this website, you've not used these keys over here in this other context. But I worry that if we don't have some open interoperable format for representing privacy-related metadata for wallet contents, that when you export and import
import, it will very easily be traceable in the new system without being able to kind of be aware of how that because the adversary is building a graph of what they can see from an identity. And the idea is that if you can't see that graph and you can't know easily what the adversary is doing. That's the motivation behind the metadata, but the point is really well taken that there's a fine line between commingling those awkwardly and gaining privacy advantages.
Cool. Thanks, Ori. So we just have a few minutes left, and we've got Wayne and Christopher on the queue, so let's get through those. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, so what about the question for Ori? Has there been any investigation in terms of decentralized PKI and its interoperation? I know there was some activity about Carrier or the likes, but what does key management look like with respect to this standard, or is that totally based on the implementer?
Yeah, so the idea is that if you have a key management system that exists today, you would model that key management system as a set of JSON data model and abstract interfaces, and then it would be compatible with this. But specifics of that underlying system are outside of the scope of the specification by itself. So as long as that system supports some set of interfaces and can be described using JSON and, you know, abstract interfaces, I think it can be supported. And the intention is definitely not to commingle concrete implementations of key management systems, signature suites, or, you know, the like with the data model and abstract interface.
Thanks. And I know you did touch on WebKMS, but that's a great answer.
Cool. Thanks. Chris, your last up.
Yeah, so I won't go long. I just have a couple of questions that people can just type in IRC. The first question is, your wallet or your tools are planning on supporting some form of HD key, could you put, type HD key or plus one HD key or whatever in the IRC? In particular, I'm needing some help around, are people using HD keys in a 25519 space, which has, interesting complications, and there seem to be multiple standards there. That's my main question. So for SecP only, okay. Okay, that's it. Yes, it is possible to do it in 25519. It's challenging.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the show for today. Thank you all for your time and attention. We will have something out to you soon with directions on the election, and we'll talk with you next week. Cheers all.
Thanks.